and welcome to a special edition of the Hollywood Knitter podcast. My name is Allison, and I'll be host today. I'm recording on Monday, November 18th, 2013. This is a special episode of the Hollywood Knitter podcast, where I will be focusing solely on my travels and attendance at the Cognitive Fiber Retreat in Rhinebeck. So if you're not interested in a travelogue, and that's perfectly okay, you can go ahead and skip this episode. I'm going to, because I had so much travels in the past few weeks, split it into this episode, a separate special episode focusing on my European travels, and then I will have a regular episode with all my regular segments going over FOs and prizes, et cetera, shortly. But because I just had so much to catch up on and I knew they would be longer, I wanted to split them up to make it more manageable for you to listen to, as well as skip if you'd like to, and easier for me to edit. Cognitive Fiber Retreat. This was a wonderful fiber retreat put on by Dr. Gemma of the Cognitive Fiber Podcast. And it was October 13th in Tehachapi, California. And this was the fifth year that she did it. And this was my third year attending. This is the only local retreat that I go to right now, and it's awesome, especially going back my third year. I was going and seeing a lot of people I've met before, a lot of friends, and then also meeting new people, so that was great. The event is really held on a Saturday, but people go up the Friday before and they stay till a Sunday, so it's really a full weekend thing, but the official activities are on Saturday. So I had to work on Friday because I work a lot these days. I didn't actually get in my car until I think it was almost 5 o'clock. Normally you get up there and you have dinner with everyone, but I got up there too late. I got up there about 7-ish. So I missed dinner, which was kind of sad because that's one of my favorite things. Usually go to Red House Barbecue, and I didn't. And I didn't have barbecue all weekend. It made me really sad. But I did have an awesome roommate. I roomed with Laura of Dizzy Blonde Studios and the Naughty Girls Knitcast. My previous roommate, Priscilla, sadly, not so sadly, was in Europe during that time. So she couldn't attend. Laura and I roomed together, and that was awesome because she's awesome. Friday night was all just about reuniting with people. Lots of hugs, some wine, a wee bit of knitting. How it really works is we take over a Quality Inn in Tehachapi. Not take it over, there's other people there. But we have a large contingent. And as part of that, we get like their meeting room for the weekend. On Saturday, it's the market. But on Friday, it's just kind of empty. And that's where everyone gathers to sit and knit. And we started this tradition of bringing in goodies, so wine, beer, sweets, cheeses. I stopped at Porto's, which is a bakery here in Los Angeles, and I picked up and brought something. I can't remember what I brought. Did I bring the cheese balls, the potato balls? I had something. I just happened that day we had a barbecue, and so I went and got some things for the barbecue to bring, and so while I was there, I got some goodies. I did a little bit of knitting that night. I had brought for knitting my Turnstone pullover that I was working on that was going to be my Rhinebeck sweater, but didn't quite make it. I was working on that, but it was a little too complicated to be doing while talking and having a glass of wine. And it was in the bulky stage. I was working on the sleeves and got lots of compliments because it's an awesome sweater. And it will be even better when I actually finish it. I was honestly tired, you know, working long days and things like that. So I think I went up to bed at like 10-ish. And then kind of just vegged in the room and watched some really bad TV with Laura. Something about, I can't remember what it was. It was some weird reality show where women go to each other's weddings and then judge who had the best wedding. I mean, it was really odd and bad because I don't have cable anymore. I don't get to see those kind of weird shows. So it was just like the perfect amount of mind numbingness to like make me drop off to sleep. And then I was out. The next day, Saturday, the main event, I got up early, ran down to breakfast and got some food. They have a pretty good inclusive continental breakfast as part of the price. So a lot of us end up there. And then I went and helped Laura set up because she was vending as Dizzy Blondes and she has awesome stuff. You should check it out. I'll have a link in the show notes. So I helped put together grid walls for the first time, which was kind of fun. That kind of stuff really appeals to the engineer in me. I liked helping and doing that. And then we headed out where Dr. Gemma has her traditional poolside introduction of everyone. And that's where she gives out the door prizes. This year, for the first year, we actually had, it's around the pool and there's a little hot tub and usually nobody's out there. I mean, it's October. It's a little chilly up there. But this year there were some kids. I think one of the girls was like 8 and then her sister looked to be like 12. And they were in the hot tub at, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning and they didn't care that there was this gathering of women all around. There were like, I don't know, 50 of us. And that was kind of funny. We go around, we introduce ourselves, we say how many we've been to, et cetera, et cetera. And then Dr. Gemma gives away awesome goodies and she gives away fiber and books. And I won a gorgeous skein of yarn from someone I've never heard of, Pandia's Jewels. And it's her squidgy base and the fortune teller colorway, which is this really great yellow with some like plum in it, and it's a lighter yarn, and I really like it. It's fingering weight, and it's 490 yards. Very, very generous of a superwash merino wool. After you do the introductions, there's lots of cool classes that go on that are put on, and as usual, I didn't attend any of them because I like to go and hang out and do shopping, and so that's what I did. I did do some shopping from the wonderful vendor. She has a smaller market, but high quality vendors. And a lot of them are the same year after year. And you see some awesome things. And Fickle Knitter and Slip Stitch Studios and Dizzy Blondes for the first time this year. And who else was there? Arcade Knits does her awesome bags and stitch markers. And Jamie, and I can't remember Jamie's actual company, but he does awesome, awesome shawl pins and things like that. And they're always just such a fun table. Some of my favorite people there. But as I said, I was going very restrained this year. And so I did my walk around and nothing truly jumped out at me that I had to have, which was good because I didn't need to have anything. But that day I was wearing purple. I wore my purple Worth cardigan and my Molly hat, which is a Malabrigo and shades of purple. And I got lots of compliments on that. I actually like winter for wearing hats. And I have a lot of hats. And I look good in hats. So that was cool. But they're both shades of purple. And I realized I have no purple socks. So I did go and buy one skein of my roommate's yarn. And so it's Dizzy Blonde Studios. And her Lammy Toes base, which is her sock yarn. And it's a 75% superwash Corydale and 25% nylon. And it's 425 yards. And it's called Indefinable Allure. And it's purple and shades of purple. Those are the only two skeins of yarn I came home with. Very proud of myself. Now, I did make two other purchases. One was a bag from Slip Stitch Studios, a small project bag for work. I have one from, I think, 2 years ago that I got. And I find that I use it the most at work when I'm walking around because she has this great handle on it that normally is supposed to go around your wrist so you can hold it while you're knitting, like in a sock yarn. And it's not fabric. It's like a kind of like a tote bag handle. Like, it's really thick and I love it because I stick it on my belt loop and then I walk around with it, but it's made for being around your wrist, so it's wider, much wider than the belt loop. And I really wanted to get one that would be much shorter in that handle that would truly just be for my belt at work. And that way it would be very snug and it wouldn't kind of hang down at all. So I asked her if she wouldn't mind doing a little special order for me. And it's basically just making that handle shorter. And she said, of course. And I was able to pick out the fabric and I went with a black fabric. I can't actually remember what it is because I haven't gotten it yet. But a very black fabric because it's for work and it does get dirty and I wash it, but it still gets dirty. And then she was going to shorten the handle for me and mail it to me. It's going to be my new project bag for the socks or the hats or whatever, the small projects that I do when I'm walking around work and working. The other thing I bought, because I'd been craving them and they were there, and so I finally purchased the Chowgu Red Lace interchangeable set, and I got the small set, so it's sizes 2 through 8, because I find I've been knitting the most of my Chowgus for my socks, and I only have one size, like US 1.5, and that's pretty much all I do my socks on are 1.5 in Magic Loop with these needles. So I thought I would pick up this case. Plus, I really like the black and white pattern fabric and how small it is. Like, it's just a really great set for travel. And the price was right, and one of the vendors was selling it, so I picked it up. I did get to go to the yarn truck for the first time, and this is a truck that has kind of, not capitalized, but kind of joined into the whole food truck craze that has been going around. I don't know about other places in the U.S., but here in L.A., a few years ago, like, there were food trucks everywhere, and people, like, followed them on Twitter, and you would go drive to where they are, et cetera, et cetera. So they bought an old food truck, and they turned it into a mobile yarn store called the Yarn Truck. Great idea. First time I got to go into it, because it does focus on going, as far as I know, it only goes in Southern California places, like farmers markets or events or yarn stores sometimes. And so I did go in there, and it was lovely with some lovely yarn, but I resisted because I had a plan and I have lots of yarn and I have lots of projects, and I resisted. But it was lovely to see it, and lovely, lovely ladies who run it. Lunch is always fun because you go into local places in town, and for a town that is on the smaller side, they have a lot of good food places to go eat. This weekend, there would happen to be something in town, like a fall fest or something, and there was a ton of people in town. But I got to go to lunch at King of Siam, which is a Thai place, and I'd heard about it multiple times from the previous years, and I'd just never been able to make it or hadn't made it. It was delicious. Seriously, I eat a lot of Thai food in LA. I love Thai food, and this was some of the best Thai food I had. It was so fresh and it was so tasty, such large portions, and it was just really good. I wish they were my local Thai place, because since we moved in April, the Thai places around here aren't very good. King of Siam was my local Thai. Probably get it at least once a week, maybe more. And I had a bunch of lovely ladies I got to have lunch with. There were actually 2 large tables of us. In the afternoon, we did knitting in the hallway. So because our big meeting room is taken with all the vendors, they have a long hallway with chairs and couches along it. And that's kind of where people end up. Copped a squat on the floor and I started working on my turnstone sleeve again. And this is kind of where it went sideways for me. I was almost done with the first sleeve and I tried it on and it was too tight. Probably because I was adapting from the project and, you know, I was making changes to the sleeves because I didn't want the dolman style and I didn't really think about how fast it was reducing and et cetera, et cetera. Anyways, I ripped it out and restarted it, but I couldn't really knit it there because it's a 2-color stripe and you have to, you know, twist the yarn every row so that you don't get a gap and all this stuff. And it was too intensive. And I had had a plan because the Red Sox were in the playoffs at this point. So I wanted to go see the game. And the previous year I'd watched the USC football game, and this year I was watching the Red Sox game. I was going to go over to the bar connected to, well, not connected, but next to the hotel called Route 58. And it's a restaurant and bar. That ended up being a lot of fun because people didn't have the same energy to go and drive somewhere for dinner. And they had eaten dinner there the night before, and it was pretty good. So a large number of ladies came over for dinner and made a really long table. I didn't sit with them because it was too far away from the TV. So I sat at the bar and was watching the game. And it was kind of comical because I was sitting alone for a lot of the time. And just watching how sort of inept this bar was. Like, someone came in and ordered like a Jack and Coke, and he's like, I'm out of Jack. And I was like, my jaw almost dropped. Like, no bar should ever be out of Jack. It's just not what you do. And then how they were doing orders, and like, they were on a paper system. I guess they used to be on an electronic system, point of sale system, and the new owners were taking it out. And it was just interesting to watch. But, you know, they had beer and they had the game and they let me watch it. And the Red Sox did not win that particular game. They had a live band that came on about, I don't know, 8 o'clock. And they played kind of 80s and 90s and current songs kind of cover. And so there might have been a wee bit of dancing before we went back and hung out and did some more knitting. We went back to the motel and hung out more and did some more. Well, a lot of people did a lot of knitting and spinning. A lot of people bring their spinning wheels and track them out. And I see more spinning there than I see any other time of the year, which is awesome. I love watching spinners. Don't want to be one, but love watching them. And then I think, you know, a group of us shut it down at like midnight. I managed to stay up all night and cleaned up a little bit. Then the next day, Sunday, they do a breakfast. I didn't go this year because I needed to get home. So I had actually leftovers from my King of San I Am, and I ate that for breakfast because there was like a microwave in the room, and it was so yummy. And I headed home early, which is for another year. So just a great event. I look forward to Cognitive 6. Oh, one of the things we also got was a great goodie bag. Dr. Gemma and Loretta 1031, her awesome cohort and planner this year, put together a great goodie bag, and it had lots of samples of yarn, like more than I've gotten ever. Like, if I were doing like one of those puffy hexagon quilts, it'd be awesome. In fact, I might end up giving these away in a future giveaway to someone who is doing one of those and wants more samples, because not enough to really do anything. It's like 20 yards of things, but they're really pretty to look at, so I may put them in a drawer, but then someone may want to use them for their Hexapuff quilt. We'll see. Then a wonderful coupon codes from a bunch of vendors, so that's awesome. I still have to go through and see, check out people's stuff and see if I want to get anything. We also got pattern from Fickle Knitter, and then another crochet pattern of like an amigurumi animal, and then some stitch markers. So goodie bags are never expected at these events, but they're always nice. Whew. So that was the Cognitive Fiber Retreat. Ryan Beck. I mentioned that, you know, I was going to be crazy. And the Cognitive Fiber Retreat was the 13th. And Ryan Beck was the next weekend. And then the 2 days after that, like the following weekend, I was going to Europe. And bunch of friends were getting together, and I went last year, and I wanted to go. And so I made the decision to do that, and it was awesome. Loved it. I took the red eye out from LA on Thursday night, and I flew into Providence, which is the closest airport to my family. And I got a rental car, and I drove over to my parents, which they live about 20 minutes, 25 minutes away from the airport, in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. And I got to see them, which is good because I hadn't seen my dad, as I said, since his birthday last year, so last November. I saw most of my other family at various times and various trips, but my dad doesn't travel anymore. So unless I go to Rhode Island and go see him, I don't see him as often, versus the rest of them will come and travel. My mom gave me my birthday present. So my birthday is Halloween, so it was like 2 weeks before. She made me an amazing Halloween quilt. Now, if you've been listening for a while, you know, last year I had this, you know, goal of all these things to improve myself. And one of the things I wanted to learn to do was quilt. Well, I gave up on that. I just don't have the time. And although I love the look of it, I am just too enthralled with my yarn. I had been buying on sale at Joann's after Halloween fabric for a few years. And because I wasn't a quilter, apparently I bought too much, my mom said. But when I was moving and I decided, okay, not going to be a sewer, gave my sewing machine to a friend, and then I boxed up all of my Halloween fabrics and all of my other fabrics and sent it to my mom. She decided to make me a Halloween quilt because she's an amazing quilter for my birthday. And she gave it to me when I went out for Rhinebeck. And it's really awesome. It's probably a queen size quilt, maybe a little smaller, and which is awesome. It's going to be on my couch. And she says she used like 1/4 of the fabric I sent her because I buy insane amounts of fabric. I buy like, I don't know, a yard, 2 yards, 3 yards. And apparently you need a lot less when you quilt. Who knew? Then I took a nap because I'd taken the red eye, and you don't sleep very well on the red eye. And we got in early. Like, that's never good when I'm planning on the red eye to actually sleep. It's awesome when I'm traveling otherwise to get in early, but not in this case. So I took a nap, and then I got up and I left about 2 p.m. for my parents, and it was about a 3-hour drive to upstate New York, and drove out through the whole length of Massachusetts down the turnpike and went and then came down, and we were staying in Woodstock, New York, which is where a friend had rented the house. Pulled in about 5:30. Sun was still out and it was gorgeous. It was what I would consider country, but basically, you know, it's a very rural kind of area, and the house was amazing. It used to be, I don't even know, it was probably an old farmhouse or something, and it's been expanded upon, and it had 3-4 bedrooms, had like a sunroom, then it had an extra like library room with couches and fireplace, and it was awesome. And my housemates were a combination of some awesome pals, my Rhinebeck buddies from the previous year, Emily from the Watch It Swatch and podcast, who had spearheaded the house, and my awesome friend Michelle, happy to run. So those are the ladies I went to Rhinebeck with last year, and I couldn't not go this year because I would have been sad if I missed out on all of the festivities. And then I met a bunch of new people, some familiar from podcasts and some not. My housemates were Kim from Cross Stash Podcast, who is awesome, and as well as Tiffany, who's Crafty, who is soon to be a podcaster. And both these ladies have been at SSK with me, I believe, and I didn't get a chance to meet either one of them. And that's kind of what happens at some of the larger fiber events, is that there's so many people that you don't really get to meet every single person or talk to them and interact with them. So this was awesome that I got to talk to them and meet them. And I watch Kim's podcast, so that was cool. Then Sarah, who is the amazing dyer behind Another Crafty Girl, newly available at the Loopy U, as well as her own shop. And she has amazing colorways. Big fan. I had met her at SSK a few years ago, and I have some of her stuff in my stash because it's awesome. And then some new, totally new to me, Amanda, who is the designer behind Dilettante Knits, who lives in Massachusetts, came down and was a roommate. She has a new cardigan that it's not on her page because I just saw it, but she was wearing it there, that I can't wait for the pattern to come out. And when it does, I'm going to mention it and link it because it was great. I don't know when it's gone. I should send her an email and find out when it's going to be out. And then we also had Sierra, who does some amazing, gorgeous knitting. And she's Aspen Snapdragon on Ravelry. And she's also a designer. And she has this beautiful pullover called Babbling online, which I fell in love with and I might have to make. And her husband. So we had a guy, Jim, who is the amazing knitting admirer and handler of axes. Like, he's awesome. Not only did he help keep our fire going all weekend, but he genuinely knows a fair amount about knitting and compliments and knows what you're doing and is just an awesome admirer of knitting and wearer of knitting. Sierra had made him some awesome stuff that he wore over the weekend. We were just an awesome group. Like, we just got on really well together. As I said, the house was beautiful, all hardwood floors. And the first night I slept in, I'm assuming, what is a kid bedroom. I called it the pink unicorn room because it had like a giant pink unicorn in it. And the bed was a little short, but not too bad. So when I walked up, like, some of them were already there, and the deer were in the backyard. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, did you see the deer? And I'm watching, looking at the deer, and the deer, my first view of the house is, like, beautiful. And then I see the deer, and one of the deer is copping a squat because he's doing his business right there in the yard. But we saw a lot of deer throughout there. There was a lot of deer in the area. Nothing like wildlife shedding as you pull up. The big thing that we enjoyed was the fireplace. They had a fireplace. And I love fireplaces. I love knitting in front of fireplaces. Emily led the charge with starting the fireplace. Nobly led the charge. And then Amanda, who was originally from Maine, and apparently all Mainers have to learn how to, you know, maintain a fire, because I don't have that skill. As well as Jim, as I said, handler of axes and, you know, maker of kindling when we need it, kept the fire going all weekend. So we always had an awesome fire in there. It was beautiful. We decided on Friday night to kind of stay in and make dinner there. So we had pizza and beverages and knitting. And Sarah, oh my goodness, she baked. And she brought so many yummy cookies and other things. It was, I love home-baked cookies. And then we just stayed up and talked and knit. And I think we all went to bed at a decent time. Like, I don't know. I think I went to bed at like 11:30 because, you know, nobody wanted to be too tired for Rhinebeck because we had to get there and it was going to be a lot of things going on, a long day. Got up on Saturday and had some awesome New York bagels from New York, courtesy of our New Yorker, for breakfast. Went off to the festival. We went in different cars because there was a big group of us. People went off in different things, and some people were taking classes and things like that. I ended up driving with Emily and Michelle and Sarah, and we all took one car. And we got off not too late, but we had traffic, and I'm an impatient type. You know, I live in Los Angeles. I'm used to traffic, but not in like the middle of nowhere. And it was so slow and I was so impatient. So I immediately like pull up the map and I'm like, there has to be another way around. There has to be like a side road. There has to be like some little secret back roads that we can get there faster. We had the calming words of Sarah, who's like, guys, we're knitting, we're chatting. We're not in a hurry. No need to stress. And she kind of kept the stress level down and we stayed in traffic and we got there. We're probably in traffic like a half hour. I'm not sure. Pulled in around, I don't know, 10 a.m. and walked in, and that was beautiful. Easy parking. Not so wet this year, so you didn't have mud because you park in the grass. And then we headed in. Lots of vendors, a lot of the same vendors from that last year. So since it was now our second time, you know, we'd seen a lot of the vendors, and surprisingly, we just, almost all of us had just not the shopping vibe, like just didn't have the shopping impetus. I honestly didn't have a list of anything I was looking for, didn't have any sweaters I wanted to buy yarn for, and didn't really want to bring any yarn home because, again, I was traveling, I knew I was going to Europe the next week, I didn't need to spend the money on the yarn. I really went to go and hang out with friends. There was lots of browsing, lots of running into people like you knew or sort of knew or kind of recognized, which is fun. We did some of the food, hot apple cider. So yummy. I think I had like 3 glasses from different vendors. The apple donuts. Had the artichoke hearts this year. The sautéed were the best. We went early. Emily and I got in line early and only waited like 10 minutes. I think we got it at like 10:30. It was like the best snack. I was on a quest for friends. People knew I was going. And one needed one more skein of Miss Babs Yowzer. And because she was going all these festivals, she couldn't get it from Miss Babs and she knew I was going. So she had sent me a message saying, hey, would you mind picking up this skein of Miss Babs in this colorway if you see it? And I was like, sure. I love quests for yarn. It makes it fun, especially when the quests are for other people. So even though I was buying the yarn, it wasn't going home with me. Well, it was, but it wasn't staying in my stash. And then my other friend requested a Socks at Rock colorway if I ran into it. I was on those 2 quests. I immediately went to the Mets Babs line when I first got there because I was worried that, you know, she wants a specific colorway because she has 3 skeins and she needs a 4th skein. And it's the, so I went over the Miss Babs line, or Miss Babs, and per usual, the line was extremely long. But this year, crazy, 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 crazy long checkout line. Like easily, I don't know, 50, 60 people in line to check out. And I did immediately find the skein of the colorway on Saturday morning. But then I got in the line and I waited there 10 minutes and I moved like 3 feet. And the line was easily, I don't know, 100 feet. And I was like, okay, I can't dedicate my whole morning to this. So I put it back and I said, I'll try again later if it's there. You know, they come with a lot of stock. Did go over to the fold where the Stocks at Rock was and immediately found the colorway my other friend requested. So that was easily checked off the list. And that was the only skein actually I bought that day. Kind of wandered around, and then the podcaster meetup was up on the hill at 1, and I didn't stay very long. Honestly, although I have a podcast and I love putting it out, I don't like to pimp myself out. And because I'm an audio and I'm not easily recognizable, a lot of people wouldn't recognize me, and I don't go, hey, hey, I'm so-and-so, and I don't know, I'm just not that way. And so I didn't actually stay too long at the podcaster meetup, maybe like 15 minutes. And mainly we went over to see some people that we knew. And so I met up with some other friends there. I did spot some podcasters that from afar that I enjoy, like Amy Beth of the Fat Squirrel. She was there with a bunch of people around her. And Lisa Vibranen from the 90% Knitting podcast. She's also cool. And I did see Maria in the distance from the Subway Knits podcast, who kind of spearheaded a gathering last year with a picture, but I didn't get a chance to go say hi to her. What we decided to do, because the previous year I'd missed the beer tent. Not that the beer was awesome, because it really wasn't, but I really wanted to go sit and knit this year, like for a little while and have some beer. And so we went over and a few of us, and then we kind of told people we were going to do that. And so a little while later, we had a bunch of people sitting around and just chatting and knitting and having beer or wine. I actually had wine because the beer was so bad, but some local winery, which was good. And that was probably one of my favorite things that we did. We probably sat there for about an hour, hour and a half chatting. And I got to talk to some people that I hadn't got a chance to talk to before. And I'm going to just do a shout out now just because some of them are podcasters and they have awesome podcasts if you don't listen to them. And then some are amazing indie designers or crafters who sell some amazing products. So at the table, Boston Jen from Down Cellar Studios and her mom, who's awesome. Her mom, so much fun. As is Jen, but her mom is really cool. And Amy and Darren from Knitting in Circles. Amelia, Bella, and Sean from the His and Her podcast, Leslie from the Knit Girls, and Lori from Deerfield Creations. She has the most amazing supported spindles, which if I spindled, I'd totally get one. And Casey from Tangerine Designs, and she does awesome project bags. Then there were some of Jen's friends. They were at the end of the table. I didn't get a chance to meet them. And I think there might have been one other person there. Just sat, chatted, talked about knitting, beer, other things. It was great. Really, really loved it. After we split from there, we wandered around a little more. Some people might have shopped. I checked out the Miss Babs line again. Still crazy. Went through some of the barns. Did check out the Harrisville booth. And they have lovely rustic yarn. They're the mill that actually does the Brooklyn tweed yarns. And they've started some of their own lines. And they had probably one of the coolest displays where they actually have all of these skeins in. They look like milk crates and they were done diagonally by rainbow. It was gorgeous. But they also had a cute owner. He's the son and he looked to be maybe late 20s and cute and spoke yarn. Like listening to him help people, and I guess the new line that they did is something he's spearheading and the new designs, and just listening to him talk about it was just really cool. Not that we talked to him, we just kind of admired him. And I almost bought some of the yarn from there just because he was awesome. slightly crushing on the guy from Harrisville Tweed or Harrisville Mill Yarns. There's a little guilty pleasure. I almost like kneared him, like took a picture, but I didn't. Almost. Then we headed back Saturday night. We did more knitting as various people got there at various times of the housemates. And again, the fire, knitting. And that night we headed into Woodstock for dinner, most of us. And because it's off season, and I guess it was late, I think it was like 7-ish, 7:30, there weren't a lot of places open. Probably because it's off tour season, you know, October's well after it. But we ended up going into some restaurant that I can't remember, and we all got a pretty good meal. It was awesome because, you know, you're with knitters when, you know, people are knitting at the table. But then I think it was Amanda who brought like a skein of yarn and was like winding it into a ball, like at the table, like someone was holding it and she was making a ball. It was really awesome. It's just like, yeah, this is what knitters when you, this is what happens when knitters get together and go out. Then we just head back, did some more knitting, back to bed. We were going to the festival on Sunday. So on Sunday we got up and, you know, cleaned and everybody packed and got all their stuff out. Per usual, when you go to these trips, we brought, you know, more food and drink and everything that we needed for how long we were there. We weren't there long enough. Like, that was hanging out and talking and knitting was some of my favorite things to do. And I just felt like it wasn't enough. Like, I could have used just a whole day just sitting around and hanging out and doing that. We did take a group picture, which was really cool. Someone had an awesome camera with a remote. So we got some funny pictures and some awesome group pictures. Because I don't take enough pictures. So I barely took any pictures at Rhinebeck. None of myself except this group picture. We headed back to the festival. And Sunday, some people were in the shopping mood. Still not me. But I did manage to go back to the Miss Babs. And they had the skein of yarn and the color I was looking for. And the line was only like 15 minutes or 20 minutes to pay. So I did pick it up for my friend. I consider both my quests for Rhinebeck successful. Yeah, so then we just hung out for a little while. And then about noon, we split up because some of us, you know, everybody was driving back. Got on the road and did the drive. Got back to the family. And then this is where I was hanging out with my family because I only saw my parents when I was there. And my sister was out of town on a business trip, but she made sure that my niece and nephew were there because my nephew tends to be with his dad when my sister's out of town and my niece is with other various family members who help watch her. But they were both there and so we got to see them. I got to see them and we went out for dinner, Chinese food. One of my guilty pleasures when I go home is, it's not guilty, but Chinese food. And it's not Chinese food like I can get out here. It's like a Polynesian kind of mix. It's poo-poo platter and chicken fingers and things that really aren't Chinese, but they're really good. We went out, my mom, my brother, my niece, my nephew, my dad declined to go because he's not a big fan of Chinese food. And so I'm driving over there and the restaurant's only like, I don't know, 2 miles away. But in where my family lives, they were resurfacing the roads. And when you resurface the roads, you basically come through with a grinder and you grind off the top 3, 4, or 5 inches, depending on your surfaces. And then you come back after and you put new asphalt down. In LA, you grind and then you put new asphalt down, like, you know, within a day, the next day. Apparently not in Pawtucket. Apparently it had been ground up for a few days or I think I said like 2 weeks. And as part of this, you have your sewer manholes and other things like that, they stick out of the street because when the asphalt's down, they're flush. But when you grind all it off, they stick up anywhere, usually ranging from 2 inches to, oh, about 7 or 8 inches for the one I hit because you couldn't see it in the dark because it's dark and the lights and they weren't marked. And I saw it at the last minute and I kind of pulled my wheel to try to miss it, and I didn't. I hit it. And as soon as I hit it hard. And I hear, you know, I'm driving the rental car and it's got like the things that tell you if your tires are low. And immediately the low tire thing comes on. And I'm like, all right, did I just kind of puncture it? And then I'm like, all right, let's see if my brother and my mom are looking and I'm just like, nope, that might have done the tire. And I'm driving for, I don't know, another 200 feet and clunk, 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 totally flat. So I pull into the first business, which was a donut shop, and look at the tire, and it's flat. Sigh. So, you know, I have my brother and 12-year-old nephew and my 3-year-old niece in the car, and we're going to dinner, and I'm like, all right, gotta call AAA. In the meantime, we went and bought some scratch tickets from the donut shop, and we're doing that, and my niece and nephew are playing on my phone and my brother's phone or whatever. And that's about a half hour delay before the guy comes, and luckily there was a full spare in the rental car, which something I don't usually check for, but I know in some cases it's not there, but this one had it. So he's able to change it, and he throws it in, and half hour later we're on our way. Have Chinese food. Awesome. Come back home. You know, everyone's kind of go to bed. My nephew has school in the morning. My brother has work. My niece will be hanging around, but whatever. I end up sleeping at my sister's apartment because my family lives in what I call a commune, but they have a triplex. And my parents have apartments on the first floor. My sister and her kids are on the second floor. My brother's apartment is on the third floor. And because my sister was out of town, I ended up sleeping in her bed and my niece slept with me. The first thing my niece does is ask for my tablet, which is awesome because, you know, whatever. But she goes into my Netflix, and I gave my Netflix login to my sister because you can have more than people, and they use that for just online. You can have up to, like, I don't know, two or three people using it. And I always wondered at the kids' movies and stuff that get watched because I see the activity, and it's never watched for like more than like 20 minutes at a time. And I watch my niece get on there, and she's 3, go to the program, start looking at the movies, start flipping through, pick a movie to watch, watch it for like 15 minutes, in which time she goes forward and back in like various points of the Scooby-Doo movie. Then she goes to a different movie. And I was just flabbergasted. And I try to, like, you know, she's starting to fall asleep, so I try to take it from her. And she's like, no. And then she eventually is like, all right, I'm tired. And she gives it to me like an hour later. But that explains all the weird stuff and how they never actually watch a show all the way through. I had wondered about that. Got to sleep with her. And, you know, sleeping with 3-year-olds is always fun. She didn't kick me too much. But it did get cold because it was probably in the 50s at night. And there wasn't enough blankets on the bed for me. So I got a little chilly. Like, I went searching for a blanket in the middle of the night. And apparently didn't find the blankets because I didn't know where they were. Got up the next morning and then Googling like mad about this whole flat tire situation, because I knew if I brought it back to the rental car place, like, totally, I have insurance coverage of this and that, but I don't know. And originally I was going to say, okay, fine, I'll take it back. I have coverage through my car, blah, blah, blah. Then I was researching it online and then I was reading the contract, and it basically said that, yes, I'll pay for the charges, the cost to fix it, but I also will have pay for 3 days that the car is out. 1 day to drop it off, 1 day to assess and fix, and then 1 day to pick up. Like, 3 days, this car, which probably wouldn't be out for 3 days. It just hopefully needed a new tire. Didn't know if I broke the rim. In addition, I'd have to pay a fee on top of that and then the charges. So I was looking, I'm like, this tire might cost me like $400 or $500 by the time the end of this. And then all the headache with the insurance. And so I was supposed to leave 2:00 to go back for my flight to fly back, and about noon I'm like, you know what, there's a tire place down the street, I'm gonna take it over and have them look at it, maybe they have a tire. So I pull in, just a local mom and pop, and they look at it really quick and they said, nope, you're flat, the tire can't be fixed, your rim is fine, we don't have the same tire, what do you want to do? And I thought about it and I said, do you guys think that they look at tires when you bring rental cars back? And they said, well, I don't think so, but, you know, we can't say. And I'm like, you know what? Fix it. Just fix it. So I spent $120 on a new tire. They were so fast, like 15 minutes. I was home like within like 30 or 40 minutes after leaving, which is awesome. Drove back to the rental car place and turned the car. And they said, how was it? Any problems? And I said, no. And then I turned it in because I totally returned it in the same condition I found it, better, because now it's got a brand new tire in one of them. And then I flew back. Ooh, wait. I forgot to tell you about the 2 skeins I did bring home that actually went into my stash, but that I didn't buy at Rhinebeck. I was wonderfully gifted by my friends 2 gorgeous skeins of yarn and some other things for my birthday. First one was from my friend Emily of Fancy Pants Fibers in the What Just Watching podcast, who dyed me a gorgeous skein of yarn on her snazzy base and fingering called Birthdays in Rhinebeck. And it's this awesome, like, grays and browns and purples-ish. And it's gorgeous. She also gave me a project bag and these gorgeous fabric. It's like oranges and grays and yellows that happens to perfectly match the other skein of yarn that my wonderful friend Michelle gave me. And it is my first skein of Dancing Dog Dye Works in the Twist Socks. And the colorway is called Ginger Stripe. And it's a gray and orange stripe because I'm a big fan of orange. And so, yeah, so I was so excited. It was so wonderful of them to give me gifts. They're so generous and nice. And I love both of these skeins of yarn. So I did bring back two skeins of yarn for myself from Rhinebeck, but I just didn't buy them. And that was my Rhinebeck adventures. So that wraps up this special episode of the Hollywood Knitter Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you would like to find my show notes, they're located at www.hollywoodknitter.com, and I'll link to things I talked about and people I talked about in the podcast. If you'd like to get in touch with me, I'm Allison1031 on Ravelry and Twitter, and Hollywoodknitter on Plurk. You can also drop me an email at Allison1031@gmail.com or send me a PM through Ravelry. If you have time and are inclined, go join the Ravelry group. I'm just over 300 members, which is awesome. And I deeply appreciate each and every one of you. That's a wrap from Hollywood, where fiber meets fantasy and dreams are knit.